I just wanted to tell you that Myers has a $10 off. Is it a coupon? If you go to the pharmacy at Myers and show them that you have gotten your COVID-19 shot already, they'll give you a $10 off coupon that you can use any time in the store. So, you know, there's some girl over here in Ohio won $1 million by getting her shot the other day or something like that. And I thought to myself, hey, I've already had mine for months. Put me in the barrel, you know, shake me around in there. I don't know. But anyway, so there's that. And then there's something next Sunday, of course, we're going to try to return to a more normal procedure, passing the offering plate, welcoming each other, that kind of thing. But nevertheless, it may not be next Sunday, but it will be shortly thereafter. But there is, I don't know if you call it a movie or a documentary or something like that. It's the Christian Foundations and the Founding of America. You need to find it. And you need to look at it. It is excellent. I mean excellent. Matter of fact, there will be times in that documentary that you'll go, amen! You know, because there's so many things that are so important that took place because of things that happened already in Europe or whatever, and our founding fathers were about two things, basically. One, the king is not the final authority. The king is subject to God. And the other one was, because of that, plus liberty of conscience. They actually fought wars, you know, in Europe over that. People died for that. And so anyway, it's a great little thing. It's about 2 hours long, I think, or something like that. But if you can find it, I'd ask you to look at it, because on Sunday nights, not this next sixth Sunday, but after that, I'm going to do a few things on that. And maybe because of the sermon this morning, you'll say, oh, I understand how he's thinking on that. Okay? All right. Any other announcements that I've hesitated, messed up somehow, totally rolly? We will recognize our graduates next Sunday as well. And of course, today is Memorial Day. And what is Memorial Day? Right. And it's not just simply for one particular war. It's for all. It started basically after the Civil War. Bondell told Rod to bring his flag this morning that was given to
my dad.
Bondell's dad. I was thinking maybe Rod. And do you know what these folds are? You need to know. When you get to, it's called folds of honor. If you find that and find out what those are, at the end of it, you'll go, amen! Because they mean something. Stuff means something. And that's part of my sermon this morning, so I'm not going to go any further. But so anyway, good to see you this morning. Anybody else got an announcement that needs to be made? All right. Good to see Taylor here this morning. He called me this morning, said he'd sprayed himself down with high karate yesterday and had been coughing and wheezing and sneezing. This morning, I said that to him out here in the hallway. He said, what is high karate? Oh, well. Amen, amen. But, you know, sometimes that happens, doesn't it? You can be allergic to cologne, perfumes and things like that. I think it's not unusual, actually, for that to happen. But if you go, you know, then it probably happens. Just one squirt? Man, that's powerful stuff. Yeah, okay. High karate, you'd have to use half the bottle, but anyway. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the beautiful day you've given us today. Thank you for allowing us to assemble ourselves together. It is really a privilege, a fought for, died for privilege for us to come together as your people, assemble and worship you as we, as the Holy Spirit has laid upon our heart to do so. No authority over us except the Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this privilege. Be with us today as we're here in your house. Bless us. Help us, Father, to have a hunger for knowledge and truth, which is all based in you. For these things we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
By the dawning night, what so proudly we hail at the Christ's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets
here.
the trees, sweet freedom song. Immortal tongue, awake, let all that brave partake, let love their silence break, the song prolong. Our Father's God to thee, Author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our seated.
Thank you. Thank you for picking out those songs, ladies. If you have your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 4 this morning. Joshua chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. Joshua chapter 4, verses 14 through 17 this morning. We know the first stanza of the Star Spangled Banner, but we don't know the next, do we? Yeah. But it's even better than the first. All right, 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come to unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which come down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zertan, and those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Father, we do come to you this morning humbly. A gracious, loving God, you have not only provided for us in material ways, very richly, but Lord, you have blessed us eternally with this great salvation so freely given to us in Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Father, we need to be beacons of truth. We need to be inhalers of the Word of God, to study your Word, take it to our hearts, be part of us as it should be, and as was demonstrated many, many times throughout history by brave, honorable, glorious acts of your people. Lord, we ask you to be with us this morning as we're here. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would speak to us. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning that has a a burden on their heart for somebody in their family or something that's happening around about them. Lord, you know those concerns. Intercede on their behalf. Lord, maybe there's some here this morning that for the very first time they might recognize that your Holy Spirit is speaking to them. And this is not a group thing. It is an individual piercing of the Holy Spirit of God into their life. Let their answer be yea today. Let it be yes to you. So Lord, as we're here, we ask your blessing on all those that couldn't be here this morning. For whatever reason, we pray, Father, you would be with them. Bless those this day, Father, who are meeting all over this country, all over the world, lifting up the name of Jesus. We're part of that great household and family. We thank you for that. For these things I ask, in Jesus' precious name, amen. In the latter years of his life, in the 19th century, an American philosopher, Ralph Waldo Emerson, suffered from an increasing problem with memory. I'm starting to understand that. When Mr. Emerson memory began to fail him at whatever particular occasion. Many times he would refer to that memory lapse with kind of a roundabout way of doing that. For example, when he was trying to think of the word plow, he sometimes would come up with this, an implement that cultivates the soil. Have you ever done that? You're searching for that word? No, I know you guys are. And so you say, you know that guy that was this, that, and then somebody will say to you, well, yeah, yeah. And you, oh, that's it. Mm-hmm, that's him. So, you know, it's not an unusual thing. But most embarrassing to him was when he was called upon to speak and remember one of his very close friends at a funeral, and that was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Emerson commented after his prepared speech to someone, he said, gentlemen, that guy had a very sweet, beautiful soul. But I'm sorry to say today, I've forgotten his name. Yeah, mm-hmm. The loss of memory is a very sad thing, isn't it? It kind of cuts us off from those things that have happened in the past, which really are kind of lifelines. They're cables to the future. It strips us away of the treasury of recollections of sweet things, wonderful things, past experiences that still influence our lives today. It can completely erase sometimes personal history, leaving just blank pages behind. Many of you know that Charlotte is over here on at Chapman Place over there off of Coliseum and Hobson, and she's on the third floor because she's having memory problems. One thing that Charlotte has, she has no problem thinking about things way back. It's things more recent that she has lost those things. But we were over there one day, Rodney and I, and we were doing the music and going to do the Bible study, and one of the girls from the third floor, and that's the only time that those folks from the third floor came down to the first floor is if somebody up there took extra time to get other people and help these people to come down, because they had to bring them down, they had to set with them, and then they had to take them back. So it was a little bit of effort. And so this girl had brought down some of the folks, and she said, you know, there's a lady upstairs, Pastor Mike, there's a lady upstairs that really knows how to play the piano. Oh, okay, fine, excellent. She said, if I brought her down, would you give her a chance to do that? I said, well, sure, bring her down. So she went upstairs and came back down. It happened to be one of those days that Dell wasn't there anyway. And so here she comes. She sat down at the piano, and the girl said, this is Margaret, Pastor Mike, and I'm telling you, she can play the piano. She can play anything. And so we had kind of stumped the piano player. Do you know such and such a song? She'd play. Do you know this song? She'd play. I said to her, I said, this was one of Dorothy's favorite songs. I said, do you know Beulah Land? She said, I'm not sure. Could you hum a few bars? So I hummed a few bars. While I was humming a few bars, Rodney was taking his phone. And when I got done humming, she said, I don't think I recognize that. And then Rodney went and punched it. It was probably four notes. She said, I know that one. And I'm telling you, that gal could play the piano. The girl that was upstairs was a nurse, and she said, you know, sometimes when we have those kind of problems, there are things that we keep, and part of that she had noticed over her 20-some years of working with memory impairment people, that playing the piano was one of those things sometimes they didn't lose. I remember Dorothy, we went out to Mark, they had brought Dorothy's piano out, and we just happened to be there. It wasn't planned, just happened to be there. And Mark took his mother into her room, and there was her piano from home that he just brought from the day before. And she sat down and started playing. Wow, it was fantastic. Especially when he had asked me, he said, you know, Mom is really getting bad. I don't know what we're going to be able to do with her. She took her fork and was eating, and she was like this. And she asked her son, what do I do next? So loss of memory, it's a terrible thing. It really is. But You know, we're encountering in our society a problem that's as big or bigger. And it's not just simply forgetting past experiences. But our biggest problem is we never learned it to begin with. Nobody ever taught us. Nobody is doing that. And so we're not even beginning to be introduced into something of a truth or a value of something because they're not teaching it anymore. The founding of the United States of America, what date would we put down for that? It's okay, I'm not trying to trick you. All right. July 4th, 1776. But if you've heard anything in the news lately, you realize there's a false narrative going around about the founding of America, that America was a slave, racist country, and it's called the 1619 Project. And what they did was pick 1619 with that because there were ships, slave ships, coming to the Caribbean, or Caribbean? Which is it? I don't know. Anyway, those places there. Cuba, centrally. And bringing slaves to the New World. And a great deal of that had to do with Spain and Portugal and all kinds of... One of the people who came to America, his name was Alec de Tocqueville, and they asked him about America, and he said, America is great because America is good. And they had something else, and he said, well, South America was different because Americans, those who came and settled in America, were looking for religious freedom. He says, those who settled South America were looking for gold. That's a big difference. And we see a big difference there. So this business of rewriting history is not something new, is it? But the founding of the United States as some kind of slaveocracy is really inconceivable. It's a nation that bends towards, if you took the collective history, towards justice, not injustice. And almost all real historians agree that this 1619 thing is a bunch of... But it's not good. You may have heard of a guy. His name was Martin Luther King Jr., and he had a speech. I've referred to it a couple of times over the years. He said, it was, I have a dream speech. I'm not going to read you the whole stream. But he said, 50 years ago, a great American whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. So what was he standing at? Lincoln Memorial. 40 was Lincoln's speech. He said, the monument decrees came a great beckoning light of hope to millions and millions of Negro slaves who were seared in the flames of a withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. Emancipation Proclamation. You know the Emancipation Proclamation affected the Panama Canal? Did you know that? Because by the time the French fouled that up and couldn't get anything done in several other countries, we inherited that. And so that was an American project then. And when the Emancipation Proclamation took place in America, they freed the slaves in Panama. Did you know that? Now they had to start feeding them and had to start paying them. Isn't that amazing? Oh, well, that's just... But he says, I still have a dream. It's a dream rooted... Now listen, it's a dream rooted in the American dream. Who said that? Martin Luther King Jr. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. And then he quotes... We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. There was a big debate about that not too many months ago, wasn't it? A dream, again, he said, deeply rooted in the American dream. He finished up by saying, let freedom ring. And they sang that Negro spiritual, free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last. You know, that must have been something to have been there. That day. Well, you see, the loss of memory is a very sad thing. But never being told the truth is worse. It's a catastrophe that's killing us today. It dooms us to repeat the mistakes of the past. It dooms us because it destroys our hope. It destroys our foundation. It destroys our dreams. It destroys our aspirations. It destroys our joy. It destroys our love. It destroys our unity. Indivisible with liberty and justice and law. The doom of these things, the far greatest thing, is never knowing God's grace and his vision towards us. And don't think that some of these things that you're hearing don't have that implication. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Our forefathers were deeply rooted in a biblical vision, a biblical perspective, a biblical hope, for America. We wrongly think today, I think, that the past has of no value or little value. It's kind of like an old shirt that you put on, you work out in the garden or something like that. You come into the house and you kick it aside. You may get around to cleaning it one of these days, but maybe not. I think we don't understand that it's of great value. If we don't understand what we've done in the past, we'll never understand mistakes. We'll just keep committing them over and over again. I think to speak of the history of Memorial Day this morning without understanding these broader issues is a travesty as well. You see, it's not a social embarrassment or personal inconvenience that we're neglecting and do not understand. It is that we don't understand that we're in a battle, a spiritual battle, for the soul of this country and the individual lives of people who are clamoring to come here to this hateful nation. They must be really mixed up. But you know, I'm a preacher. At least I pretend to be sometimes. So I wanted to remind you of the scripture and remind you that in the scripture, there are many instances of monuments, memorial feasts, rituals, many human stories that are told to us and repeated to us and captured for us in Holy Scripture, because these stories involve a person, an Abraham, for example, we looked at last week, and a God who is real and alive. And all these stories, all these monuments, all these feasts are meant to remind us of something very, very important. They're meant for us to never forget that what God has done for us in the past is significant, and what God has done for us in Christ is preeminent. Nothing trumps that. Over there in Joshua 4:6, it says, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Because you remember that when the priests began to touch the River Jordan with their feet, the waters receded, and as they crossed over on dry land, they were instructed to pick up rocks, 12 rocks, each tribe, a particular person to break those rocks. And they were to take those rocks and make a pile, make a heap that people might remember. So that when people pass by there, they say, what's that heap of rocks there? Oh, let me tell you, that's when we crossed the Jordan. That's when we entered into the promised land. So here we have biblical narratives leading up to Israel's long-awaited entry into the promised land. You say they were wandering around in the wilderness 40 years, weren't they? Because of unbelief. Now it's ready. They're ready to come into the promised land. But the obstacle was there again. Now it's the Jordan. It's swollen. It's high water. It's blocking their way. Joshua, over in Joshua chapter 3, sees that. The people are coming. He understands that. And he tells them something very, very important. He says, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify, what's that mean? Set aside yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Okay, the Jordan's overflowing. Doesn't look like we're going to be able to cross here. God's made a mistake on his calendar again. Joshua said, no, no, no. We're going tomorrow. Wait and see what happens. See, the water of the Jordan began to recede almost like the waters of the Red Sea when the children of Israel came out of bondage in Egypt for over 200 years and they crossed over on dry land. What lessons were we supposed to be learning? What lessons are we supposed to be reminded of? Our very existence, the lessons we're supposed to learn, the lessons that we're supposed to put in our hearts, never forget that the very thing that's most important is that we're in God Almighty's hands. No matter where you find yourself, no matter how many rivers you've got to cross, no matter what's happening, you're in God's hands. If God can deliver Israel from Pharaoh and cross the sea on dry land, then God can take care of you on your day-to-day basis. Took them from bondage to freedom, from slavery to liberty. So our first lesson, though, is something that we often get all mixed up, because I pray that way too, maybe you do, that we're not supposed to trust God to free us from life's hardships or to free us from whatever thing is obstacle that there is. That's not the first step. That's not the first lesson. You know what the first lesson is? To remember that God can do it. Why are you going to pray about that thing if you don't really think that God can do it? So the very first thing is to remember to trust and obey the Lord God Almighty, because he can do it. You can't do it. You can't even visualize it. You don't have any idea how to work that out. But God's already worked it out, and we must trust him first and foremost. Then he'll do whatever he wants to do with the problem. They were freed from Egypt. They wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of their unbelief. It's, you know, kind of a pounding insistence, a call over and over and over again in Scripture, what God has done, what God has done. So we believe in what God will do in the future. Remember how God used to bless Israel many, many times, though they were weak. Many, many times they were hard-hearted, stiff-necked, rebellious people. Many, many times we read in the Scripture that Israel had fallen into idolatry again and again, but God brought them out. Over in Psalms 105, the psalmist says, Remember the marvelous works that God has done, great works, wonderful, and his judgments out of the Lord's mouth. O seed of Abraham, ye children of Jacob, whom he has what? Chosen. Remember. If we forget the values and our heritage, the sources of the blessing, we become easy prey for those schemes of the devil that sometimes are really quite attractive. Blind, we plunge headlong into apostasy. Blind, we plunge headlong into sin that brings about destruction, not only to our lives, but those around us, to our families, and even our nation. Now, let me just remind you that not all monuments to the past are monuments that we should claim and elevate. That's true. Michelangelo's sculpture of the tomb of Pope Julius is magnificent. Go ahead and look it up. But the Pope, to whom he was paying tribute, was a skunk. He was a scoundrel. A beautiful monument to him. And if we didn't know, we'd probably think, oh, this is some great guy that Michelangelo has preserved historically in a monument all these years, but he's not. And we must know the difference, don't we? We must know the difference between the two. This was good, that one's not so much. Even though maybe the outwardly, it might be beautiful and attractive. But memory, you see, should not drag us into the past and be locked up there. That's not the purpose of memory. What we do when we remember something, it is the catapult to thrust us into the future. What God has done, he can do again. What God has done, he may do even greater things now. We remember the wonderful works of the Lord in the past so that our lives in the present may look to the future with hope, looking to the future which we do not know, with wonder because of the works of the Lord, or even greater works of the Lord. Joshua said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. So I thought to myself today, not to talk so much about Memorial Day, but remembering significant historical facts, principles. And so I'm going to ask you this morning to stand up prayerfully. He said, what's he doing now? He's going to do something crazy now, I know. I'm going to ask you to silently, just reverently, bow your head unto the Lord, not to me, but unto the Lord. Because I want us to have an opportunity today that we sanctify ourselves unto the Lord. How do we do that? We first must want to do it. We must want to do it. Secondly, we must understand what that means. To be sanctified is to be set apart. To be sanctified is to be clean in God's hands. I think I can easily say that most of us could hear this morning, could say, Lord, there have been times when I did not do what I was supposed to do. Even knowing what I was supposed to do, I did not do it. Because I was agitated, or I was distracted, or whatever it might be. But let's sanctify ourselves in the Lord. So as you're bowing your head, I'm going to lead in a small prayer, and you pray as you feel led to do so, if you feel led to do so. And we'll pray together. Heavenly Father, today, we come to this place. We came this morning expecting for you to meet us here today. We're assembled in your name. This place is holy now, not because we're holy in and of ourselves, but because you've made us holy and you've privileged us. Wherever two or three are gathered together, there you are in the midst. You're here, Heavenly Father, Holy God, you're here. So, Father God, we come to stay. And I don't know what's on all the hearts that are here today. But, Lord, I feel like sometimes just screaming. I feel like sometimes, Lord, that things are so messed up that they can never be set right. But that's not right. Difficult things you do easily. So, Lord, as we're here today, we're bowing our hearts unto you. Father, we just want to, first off, thank you and praise you for what you've done in Jesus Christ for us here today who name the name of Jesus. I want to thank you and praise you for all your mighty acts throughout the scripture, throughout history, throughout our nation. I want to thank you, Lord. We have been given great privilege. We have been blessed mightily. Thank you, Lord, for these things. Now, Lord, we recognize and we come before you because we are your people. And we're thankful. We're grateful. We want to give you the glory. But Lord, we want to also say, Father, forgive us where we failed you. Lord, clean us up. You say if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Clean us up today, Lord, that we might be a shining light, a beacon to all that we meet. That as your people, as we disperse from this place, we will be the salt and the light wherever we're going. Help us to be that. Help us to center our hearts on you. So we ask your forgiveness. We ask you, Father, to put us in right relationship with you again, right in the very center of your will. We're asking the Lord Jesus to be Lord of our lives, directing us day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. Because you've told us to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart for you. And so we ask these things in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for what you're going to do and have answered already in our hearts. For these things, we pray in that name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's stand, keep standing, and we're going to have an invitation song. And maybe there's something you need to come and use these steps as an altar, whatever it might be. I have no idea, but you respond unto the Lord. And we'll sing a couple of verses, Just As I Am.
Just as I am without one plea, that death I thought was shed.